Amen. Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, let's turn back over to Philippians chapter 1. It's the text that we read just a little while ago, and I know it seems sort of odd to be a Christmas passage. You know, here we have Paul's in prison. He's heard that there are people out there who are preaching the gospel while he's in prison. He's heard that some of them are preaching the gospel because of their love for God, love of Christ, love of the people, desire to see people's lives changed and saved. But then there's others who are preaching the gospel completely in pretentious ways, some out of envy, some because of longing for power, some who want prestige, some who want to seem better off than what they really are. And Paul, you know, is pointing out that there's lots of different kinds of ways that people preach the gospel, lots of reasons why people preach the gospel. And at the end of it, and this is really where I want to hone in, I want to focus in. In verse 18, he says, "What then?" It's kind of Paul's way of saying, so what? Who cares why they're preaching the gospel? What then? Who cares? So what? "Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice." And so the title of the sermon this morning is "Why I Love Christmas." Now, there's lots of reasons why a person should love Christmas. One, it's the traditional time that the Christian church has selected to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the establishment of the incarnation, the beginning of the gospel ministry on the earth of the second person of the Trinity. That's an excellent enough reason by itself to love Christmas. And there's lots of other reasons to love it. But one of the reasons why I love Christmas, personally, is because of what Paul said right there about, doesn't matter if people are preaching the gospel in pretense or in truth, as long as Christ is proclaimed. He says, I don't care, as long as Jesus is being made much of. Why do I love Christmas? Because everywhere you go, any place that you are, people, even if they don't mean to, are making much of Jesus at Christmas time. And I love it. I used to not like it. It used to bother me. You know, like when Kenny G, and I'm showing my age, but when Kenny G all those years ago came out with a Christmas album, I was like, what is a guy who's a Jewish man who's an agnostic doing making a Christmas album? Like, seriously, like, I didn't get it. Like, it bothered me. You know, and then Whitney Houston released a Christmas album. I'm like, really? Come on, really? And then all these different people, you know, making Christmas music and putting on Christmas stuff and selling Christmas things. And almost every trinket at the store that you pick up, you flip it over, it was made in China. You know, a billion people in China. Most of them are not Christians. Most of the people who made the stuff that was the Christmas stuff that we bought from over there are not Christians. And it used to bother me. It's like, why are all these non-Christian people doing all this Christmas stuff? And then I thought about this verse right here. What then? Whether in pretense or in truth, as long as Christ is proclaimed, I will rejoice, is what Paul said. So why do I specifically love this season of the year called Christmas time? Because today you have a really good shot when you leave here, if you turn it over to a secular radio station, them playing Christmas music. In the middle of the drivel that they usually play, having a song like Silent Night go out over the airwaves, singing about the virgin birth and Jesus coming to the world to save people from their sins. I was flipping through some stations the other day, and one of the hardest, most secular stations that we have here in town was playing O Come Emmanuel. I'm like, wait, what? How? What? So you go walking through Walmart, because yes, all of my sermon illustrations are walking through Walmart. Yes, I do spend that much time at Walmart. I do. It's very sad. It's like a black hole. You get sucked in. You can't come out. It's not that they put Christmas stuff out early. It's just that it's a time warp when you get in there. You're not real sure where you are and what time of year it is until you finally get back outside. And so I was walking around in Walmart and they had all this Christmas stuff out. And yeah, they had the normal kind of fun type stuff. But then they had like all these manger scenes and they had all these "He's the reason for the season" things. And they had some Bible verses that were plastered on the side of stuff that you could buy. And over the loudspeakers, they're just pumping out this Christmas music. And of course, you know, you're in there for a quick trip to Walmart for 45 minutes. And so 45 minutes walking around the store and they're pumping out all this Christmas music. They played maybe two boppy Christmas songs all the time I was in there. The rest of them were legit straight out of the hymnal, preaching the gospel of Jesus songs right there in the middle of Walmart. You know, Walmart's not pro-Jesus. Just want to throw that out to you in case you didn't know that. Except at Christmas time. Why do I love Christmas? Because whether in pretense or in truth, Everybody's making a big deal of Jesus. Everybody. Whataburger, playing Christmas music. Walmart, playing Christmas music. The grocery store, playing Christmas music. Every TV station you turn on is Christmas show. And let's just face it, who doesn't watch Charlie Brown this time of year? And Linus's awesome speech right there in the end where he says, I'll tell you what Christmas is about. And what does he say Christmas is about? Jesus. It's the most tuned in thing still to this day when it comes on syndicated television that people tune in to watch. Big old gospel preaching right in the middle of that thing. Why do I love Christmas? Because it's the easiest time of year for Christian people to have conversations with non-Christian people about Jesus. Why? Because even the non-Christian people are already talking about Jesus. That's why I love this time of year. You say you'd think it would be that way at Easter, but it's not. Because the secular Easter celebration is vastly disconnected from the sacred Easter celebration. Like, they really don't have anything to do with each other. Even sort of the secular version of a Christmas celebration is still connected with historical figures associated with the Christian church. And so there's still a connection that's made there. And so I'm getting ready, Amanda and I get ready to travel tomorrow, and we're going to head out and we're going to go back to Memphis and we'll spend some time with family. Most of our family is at least in some umbrella way involved in Christianity, but we have a few family members that just aren't really oriented toward Jesus very much. And it's going to be really, really easy for us to have some conversations with them about Jesus because it's Christmas time. And the whole reason that we're getting together is to talk about the birth of Jesus in the world, the one who has come to save his people from their sins. That's what his name means, Yeshua, the Lord God saves. And people are going to be talking about that, and they're going to be thinking about that, and that's going to be on their minds, and we're going to be giving gifts to each other. And a pattern after the Magi, giving gifts to the boy Jesus when they came. This is all the aspects of the stuff that sometimes people feel like takes away from Christmas is connected back to the story. And is a natural, easy gateway for people to walk through and to say, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to express to you something about Jesus. And, you know, I feel compelled almost to write some thank you letters to all these big secular corporations and say thank you for the past, I was about to say 4 weeks. It's really been about 4 months. For the past 4 months that you've had all the Christmas stuff out at your store, for helping the Christian church to preach Jesus, even though on your end it was totally in pretense. You just wanted to make some extra money because people like buying your stuff. But at the end of it, you've been telling people about Jesus for several months now, and I really appreciate it. I think that's a really good thing. And of course, I'm not going to do that because then they might get wise to the fact that they're preaching Jesus, and they might try to stop doing that. I don't want them to stop doing that. I want everywhere I go this time of year for people to be talking about Jesus, to be singing about Jesus, to be thinking about Jesus. And so now what I want to do is extend a challenge to everybody here. I don't know how your family traditions work. I don't know what you do and when you do it or how you do it. I don't know when you get together with everybody. You may have done it yesterday. You may have done it last week, depending on how extended your families are. You may be doing it later today. It might be like us and you're doing it all through this next week. I don't know. But if I had to venture a guess, your family situation is a lot like mine. You're going to run into some people because of family gatherings you're going to where they're not going to really care a whole lot about the real story of Jesus. There's a pretty good shot that that's going to happen. They're thinking about it, whether they meant to or not. It's on their mind. They've heard the songs. They've seen the signs. They've saw the displays at the stores. It's in their head because this holiday has not been divorced from its source origin. As much as the culture has tried, people still get, because you can't go anywhere and not see stuff about Jesus this time of year. It's in their mind. So I would challenge each of us to really look for those natural opportunities that are going to happen over the next few days to talk with people about the real Jesus story. Because they may have been hearing a lot of Jesus in pretense. Because let's just face it, when Walmart preaches Jesus in pretense, quite honestly, everything Walmart does is a pretense, but especially preaching Jesus is a pretense. They just want to make money off of the fact that people are celebrating a holiday. When secular radio stations play Christmas music, it's because they want to give their DJs the day off, and so they just do a big mixtape and they hit play and it's all Christmas songs and they don't want to have anybody in the studio. It's pretense. They want to save a little studio time money. They want to let people have the day off to go hang out with their family. They don't care anything much about Jesus. But we do. Notice what Paul says here in this text earlier. He says, some to be sure are preaching Christ from envy and from strife, but others are preaching him from goodwill, and the latter do it out of love. So we're going to get ready to get together with some folks, and we're going to have some ham, we're going to have some turkey, we're going to have, there's a good shot we may have some spaghetti or ravioli, because, there'd be some Italians involved in ours. That might not happen for you, but that might happen for us. And so you're going to be enjoying some good food, you're going to be enjoying some good times with people, and just some fellowship, some folks you haven't seen in a while, and they're going to have heard Jesus for several weeks now, mostly out of pretense. Let's make sure that they have an opportunity to hear Jesus in love. People who actually love Jesus and who really believe in him and whose lives have been changed by him and whose whole worlds are regularly affected by him. Let's make sure that we take the opportunity for people who are already focusing their attention at least a little on the incarnation, the birth of the second person of the Trinity, to step in and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you a little bit more about that. I want to tell you why that really happened. I want to tell you what took place because of that. I want to talk to you about how the world has been turned upside down because of that. I want to talk about how your life can be turned upside down because of that. And you say, Philip, that seems real bold. It seems real brazen. It seems over the top. It seems kind of in your face. It seems a bit out of character. Listen, if Walmart can do it, if Whataburger can do it, if the secular radio stations can do it, because friends, they're doing it. If secular TV can do it. They're playing tons of Christmas shows. Yes, most of them are, and even my wife admitted the other night, we were thumbing through, we're on the Hallmark has been wall-to-wall cheesy Christmas movies for like 2 weeks. It's been a bad dream at my house because it's like the TV's locked in on that station. You know, it's been rough. And even the other night, my wife said, Philip, I have to admit to you, this one's bad. The acting's bad. The plot line's bad. And like, I hope the guy gets the girl because that's the only redeeming thing about the hell of the movie that we just spent 2 hours watching. It's bad. And it was like commercial free. It was like, it was uninterrupted bad. It was just, whew, you know. And so even the secular TV stations are slamming in Christmas stuff. And even the themes behind some of their movies still point to some of the nativity stuff. You'll have the nativity scenes in the background. You'll have the Jesus stuff in the background. Even they can't get away from it because it's an incomplete Christmas movie unless you at least stick something like that in the background. So everybody in pretense has been talking to us about Jesus. Let's make sure that the Christian church talks to people about Jesus in love. Not in pretense, but because of goodwill. And I like that Paul uses that language of goodwill because that's reflective of the same sort of language that was used of the angels when they came that first Christmas and announced the birth of Jesus. Glad tidings of great joy we bring that will be for all people. That's what we come. But why? Because born for you in this day in the city of David is a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And the shepherds went to go see this thing that they had heard. And it says that the angels came with these glad tidings of goodwill, great joy, and peace for all people. That's what they came to do. And you know what? That's the same message that we're supposed to be giving to people now. And what I like about Christmas time and what our culture has done with it, I know a lot of people don't like the secularization of Christmas. I love it. Why? I used to hate it, but I love it. Because even after Christmas is over, this next coming week, Christmas wrapping paper on sale, 50% off. Buy one, get one free. The tree that costs $600 on sale for $150. And that stuff's going to hang out in the stores for the next 2 weeks on sale. And so people are still going to be seeing it. And they're going to be looking at it. It's going to be all in their face. So for like the next 2 weeks after the holiday, you still have a small window of, hey, let me talk to you about this tree I'm buying and why I'm doing that and what this really represents. And it's a beautiful time of year. Don't bemoan in a very sanctimonious kind of way the secularization of Christmas. Don't do it. It is the greatest evangelism window thrown open for Christians all year long in our culture. Because the world actually does the hard work for us. They put Jesus on everybody's mind. All we have to do is just step in and give them the rest of the story. Hey, listen, we've been singing about Jesus and we've been talking about Jesus. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Let's love people enough, have enough goodwill towards people to say, hey, let's talk about why Jesus came in the first place. And then we can carry them from Christmas to Easter and talk about his death and talk about his resurrection and talk about the hope that he gives. Because if you notice, if you pay attention, this is a joyful time of year. It's a celebratory time of year. It's a great, happy, momentous time of the year. But for a lot of people, it's a hard time. It's a difficult time. A lot of people have lost loved ones. A lot of people have gone through a lot of personal tragedies. Sadly, the national suicide rate is highest this time of year because people just have a hard time processing the negative emotions that they feel for loss of friends and family and personal pain and different trials that they've been through. And what a remarkable time. See, this is why I also believe in God's sovereignty. What a remarkable time for an entire culture to attempt and fail to secularize one of the greatest things that has ever happened in the world, namely the coming of Jesus Christ onto the earth. It's so providential of God that our culture goes into a Christmas frenzy. Because people are hurting, and what is the only thing that will help real pain in people's lives? This is an easy pop quiz. Jesus. And so now people are struggling and they're suffering and they're having these difficult times, and it's become more acutely aware to them of the longing and the lack that is found inside of themselves and the holes that are in their hearts and the emptiness that they experience. And what are they hearing all around them? Songs about Jesus, songs about Jesus. And they feel this pain and they miss their friends and they, or whatever it may be. And what do we have to offer them? We can step right in and we can say, hey, you know, there's actual hope that you can have. In the place of this sorrow that you're experiencing, there's real peace to be found. There's true joy that can come to you because of what Jesus has done when he's come into the world. It's a beautiful opportunity for Christians this time of year. And so I don't know where you are in the spectrum of how frustrated you are with the secularization of Christmas or not. I don't know where you are. It used to bother me a lot. And Amanda can tell you, I used to ride around back in the day and that, you know, it's before Thanksgiving. They already got all this stuff out. You know, I used to be just grumpy about it, man. Scrooged about it. It was just bad. Kind of shifted on that now. Because I love the fact that whether they mean to or not, everybody in America starts talking about Jesus for about 5 or 6 weeks at the end of the year. And the closer we get to the actual holiday, the more they make of Jesus. It's wonderful. And why is it wonderful? Because whether in pretense or in truth, I rejoice that the gospel has been proclaimed. Whether for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, I rejoice that Jesus has been made much of. Because I know, as one who loves Jesus, I know as one who has been impacted by him, I know as one who's been transformed by his work on the cross, that the more people hear about Jesus, see about Jesus, the more people around them make much of Jesus, the more that the truth of Jesus is proclaimed. Because friends, even in some of the worst pulpits across the country, the past 2 or 3 weeks, the best sermons have been preached. Why? Because they've been on the Christmas passages and they've been about Jesus coming into the world to save people from their sins. Even in the places where doctrine and theology is almost vacant from a church, they're going to have some really good doctrine and theology the past few weeks, because you have to have that when you open up and read these texts. He's going to come into the world and save his people from their sins. Best gospel preaching you can get right there. I don't care what else they did with the rest of the service. They just told people the truth. I don't care whether it was in pretense. I don't care whether it was a mockery. I don't care whether they really believed it. At the end of the day, the people heard the truth. And I love it. I love walking through a secular store, listening to a secular radio station, surrounded by secular people, and them having to hear, "Oh, come, Emmanuel." I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I think we ought to take as much of the opportunity while that's happening as we can. I think that's what we should do. I think we should take the fact that on everyone's mind is Jesus. And we should insert him into as many conversations as we possibly can. And I know I'm probably going to have a chance to do some of that this week with some family members. I'll probably have a chance to do it when we have to stop at gas stations, or if we'll have to, you know, run in and grab some food or whatever it may be. I'm going to have some chance to do that. I pray I will look at those opportunities for what they are and I'll take them. I pray that you'll do the same. And instead of being frustrated with what feels like the diminishing of Christmas, let's instead look at this time of the year and go, hey, the whole world is magnifying Jesus this week, whether they meant to or not. Praise God. You know, Philippians has something else to say about this later. It says that there's coming a day where every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will. Some in judgment, some in salvation. I love the fact that in the meantime, there's a whole bunch of tongues declaring that Jesus is Lord inadvertently. I think it's great. I love how in one voice people go on about how, you know, you don't need to shove the religious aspects of Christmas down my throat. And then the very next instant, the radio station that just played their interview is playing a song about how Jesus is King of the earth and he's come to save people from sins. I think it's great. I think it's remarkably dumb on their part, but I think it's fantastic. The lack of logic that people have blesses my heart sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. It's great. And so, friends, this morning, when you turn on the TV and they're playing that show, or you're flipping through the radio station and you're like, why is the station playing this song? Or you're stopping in Walmart or doing whatever you're doing this week and they're still playing the music, or they still have the decorations out, or you're engaging, you know, Uncle so-and-so who, you know, just doesn't know Jesus at all, but he's celebrating the birth of Jesus. Let's all look at this as for what it is. God and his kind, sovereign providence has created a window of opportunity in our culture where Jesus is on everyone's mind. And let's all love them enough to share with them the true story of Jesus in goodwill. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the fact that this time of year, Jesus is on everyone's mind. Even from those who don't mean for him to be. Even those who normally would be opposed to everything that he is about. Yet they still, whether through song or through word or through even things that they're selling in their stores, point people to Jesus. They point people to Bethlehem. They point people to the manger. They point people to the Son of David. And so, Father, I pray that we would take advantage of these opportunities through goodwill and love toward others to make much of Jesus in the right way. Give us the courage and the bravery to do so by your grace and for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If the men are going to help with our offering, would please come at this time.